Oh, good morning, everybody, and a warm welcome to All Saints this morning. It's lovely to have you with us, whether you're here in the building present this morning, or whether you're worshipping with us at home, or you're following online sometime during the week. It's a pleasure to have you here. And especially today, a warm welcome and a happy new year. It was lovely to come in this morning and find so many people greeting one another and wishing them a happy new year. And that's just really great and just part of the evidence of the great community that we have here. My name is the Reverend Helen Wilkinson, and I'm one of the retired clergy team here at All Saints and St Andrews, and it's a pleasure to be with you here today. I'm afraid I have to begin the service this morning with a piece of bad news. I don't know whether many of you know Maurice Husband. He and his wife Yutta are regular worshippers at the Thursday morning service at St Andrews. They're very involved there. And I'm afraid to have to say that yesterday afternoon, Maurice had a sudden heart attack and died. And so it was very distressing, obviously, for Yutta. It happened really quickly. And so we want to remember them in our prayers. And Maurice was married before, he was widowed before he married Yutta, and so he has children from a previous marriage, and so we want to remember them in our prayers as well. So shall we, before we begin our service, just pray for that family and the shock and distress that they must feel. Lord God, we want to thank you for the life of Maurice Husband, for his kindness and generosity to so many. Thank you that so often he noticed people that other people didn't. Lord God, we pray especially for Yutta, his wife, and for his children, his grown-up children, that your peace and your comfort will come to them at this very difficult time. Please comfort them in their loss, we pray, Lord God, and help us to know how we can best support them. In Jesus' name, amen. At the start of this new year, we're actually beginning a new sermon series looking at Mark's Gospel. And it's a very interesting Gospel, and it opens with the beginning of the good news about Jesus. So it's a Gospel that begins with a beginning, which just seems so appropriate for January the 2nd. And, of course, our God is the God who is at the beginning of every year, and he's the first and the last, and he's reigning throughout history. So at the start of our service, we're going to acknowledge God's presence with us and commit the new year to him in a few moments of silence. Lord, at the start of this new year, we come with our lives, our thoughts, our hopes, and our fears. We come with our plans, our dreams, and our memories. We come with our time, our gifts, and our skills. We come with our family, our friends, and our contacts. We come with ourselves, at the start of this new year, we come to offer you everything we have and are. May the light of your kingdom life live in us, that we may live for you in 2022. In Jesus' name. Amen. If you're able, can I invite you to stand and sing our first song together? Lord, for the years your love has kept and guided. Please stand. Please, as we come to our confession. Lord, for ourselves, we've just sung, in living power, Maker, self on the cross and Christ upon the throne. That's a great prayer, isn't it, for a new season? Although, in actual fact, we're still officially speaking in the season of Christmas, as far as the Anglican Church is concerned. And so this morning we're going to use the confession from the Church of England Christmas material, because Christmas is still fresh in our minds and the material here can be applied to every season. When I say we have sinned, the response is forgive us and heal us. The beginning of the good news about Jesus. Hear the words of the angel to Joseph. You shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. Lord of grace and truth, we confess that we are not worthy to be called your children. We have sinned. Forgive us and heal us. Mary and Joseph accepted your call to be Jesus' earthly family. Forgive our disobedience to your will. We have sinned. Forgive us and heal us. Your Son, our Saviour, was born in the poverty of a manger. Forgive our greed and rejection of your ways. We have sinned. Forgive us and heal us. The shepherds left their flocks to go to Bethlehem. Forgive our self-interest and lack of vision. We have sinned. Forgive us and heal us. The wise men followed the star to find Jesus the King. Forgive our reluctance to seek you. We have sinned. Forgive us and heal us. May the God of all healing and forgiveness draw us to himself and cleanse us from all our sins, that we may see the glory of his Son, the Word made flesh, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. And we're going to continue in an attitude of prayer now as Paul comes to lead us in our prayers.
After each prayer, I will say, Lord, in your mercy, and the response, if you want to join in, is, hear our prayer. Let us pray. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, you promised through your Son, Jesus Christ, to hear us when we pray in faith. As we begin to wind up the celebrations of the good news brought by the birth of Jesus, we turn our thoughts to the new year ahead, and pray that it may be one of good news. And as we gather here this morning to worship, we think of those Christians who are persecuted for their faith, often without any mention in the media. Many of these Christians live in Africa and Asia, and sadly there is even persecution of Christians by Christians. We ask you to bless all those who are persecuted for their faith, especially those for whom worship will endanger their lives and their families' lives. Keep them strong in their faith and keep them safe from harm. We pray that the good news of the love of God and the work of your Holy Spirit will overcome oppression. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray for the world and ask that in 2022, nations and peoples will support each other and come together as a world family to meet the challenges we face in overcoming poverty, bringing an end to famine, ending the conditions that drive people to migrate or become refugees under the most hazardous circumstances, addressing and reversing climate change, and ending the COVID pandemic. We know that by working together we can solve these problems, yet there seems little will or appetite among world leaders to act in unison and collectively. Instead, they antagonise each other, exercise protectionism, and in too many cases show scant regard for human life through tyranny, terror and genocide. We pray for world leaders and ask that the light that came into the world at that first Christmas will shine brightly on them and bring about a new world order based on living peacefully and constructively together. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. And we pray for our own government who face some tough challenges. We pray that the right people, the people that you have in your plan, will rise to positions of authority, and that they will be blessed with the wisdom and the skills to deal with the challenges they face, but above all, that they will govern for the good of all in the country, and especially for those who are weak and vulnerable. We pray for those in our country who live in poverty, for those who are homeless, and for those who are threatened by violence, and ask that their suffering and hardship will be ended. And we pray especially this morning for our government as they continue to deal with the COVID pandemic. We pray for those who advise the government and who have responsibility for trying to understand the behaviour of the virus, to ask that they will be given the insights to balance the conflicting parameters they're dealing with, to come to the right conclusions and make good decisions. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
We pray for our society and communities. Last year we heard so many heartwarming stories. Last year we heard so many heartwarming stories about the kindness of strangers, and we give thanks that the vast majority of those among whom we live are caring, good-hearted folk who will come to the aid of those in need. We pray for charitable organisations who do such good work to meet the needs of those in desperate straits, remembering especially CAP, the Myatt Foyer and the food bank here in Malvern. And we pray that the love you show to us will flow out through us to those among whom we live and work. And we pray for our schools as they prepare to return for a new term in what promises to be a tricky few weeks. We pray for the children and their families, but pray particularly for the head teachers and their staff, for Alison at the Wells, for Stephen at the Witch, for Sue and Martin at Malvern Parish, and for Mike at the Chase. Bless them and be with them as they manage their schools and resources to do the best they can for the children in their care. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray for those who are sick, for those recovering from treatment, and for any who are physically unable to come to church, remembering particularly from our community here, Trish, Peter, Pat and Shirley. We ask you to bless the medical staff treating the sick and pray for restoration to full health. We pray for the families of those who are sick and especially those who care for their loved ones at home. Bless them and give them respite from their duties. And in a moment of silence, we bring before you in our hearts any others known to us who are in need of your healing and love. We pray that you will bless all those who are anxious or distressed. Comfort and relieve them in their need and bring good out of their troubles. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
And merciful Father, accept these prayers for the sake of your Son, our Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Thank you very much, Paul. Our next song takes us from the manger to the time when Jesus will return in glory. If you can stand to sing, can I invite you to join with me in the song, Born in the Night, Mary's Child. Let's stand.
Thank you.
Please take a seat as Keith comes to bring us our Bible reading.
John the Baptist prepares the way. The beginning of the good news about Jesus the Messiah, the Son of God, as it is written in Isaiah the prophet, I will send my messenger ahead of you, who will prepare your way, a voice of one calling in the wilderness, prepare the way for the Lord, make straight paths for him. And so John the Baptist appeared in the wilderness, preaching a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. The whole Judean countryside and all the people of Jerusalem went out to him. Confessing their sins, they were baptized by him in the Jordan River. John wore clothing of camel's hair with a leather belt around his waist, and he ate locusts and wild honey. And this was his message. After me comes the one, more powerful than I, the straps of whose sandals I am not worthy to stoop down and untie. I baptize you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. At that time, Jesus came from Nazareth in Galilee, and he was baptized by John in the Jordan River. Just as Jesus was coming up out of the water, John saw heaven being torn open and the Spirit descending on Jesus like a dove. And a voice came from heaven, you are my Son, whom I love. With you I am well pleased. At once the Spirit sent Jesus out into the wilderness, and he was in the wilderness 40 days, being tempted by Satan. He was with the wild animals, and angels attended him. Jesus announces the good news. After John was put in prison, Jesus went into Galilee proclaiming the good news of God. The time has come, he said. The kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe the good news. This is the word of the Lord.
Well, thank you very much indeed, Keith. And if you have get hold of a Bible, that would be really useful at this point. And you'll find this reading on page 1002, Mark chapter 1. Try and bring a Bible each week or grab one from somewhere in the church, because this is a gospel that we're very much familiar with. But it would be a really great idea to look at it afresh in 2022. So as we do that, let's pray, shall we, as we begin. Lord God, we thank and praise you so much for your word. Thank you that there are fresh things every time we look at it, that it never grows old. And we pray that this morning you will give us eyes, heart and will, mind, heart and will, to go with what you're saying to each one of us today. From Mark chapter 1. In Jesus' name. Amen. Wake up. Wake up. Now, this is not a comment on the congregation or anybody at home who's dropping off in their bedroom. Nothing to do with that. This is simply the way in which Tom Wright describes the effect the opening verses of Mark's Gospel are designed to have on its readers. In his commentary called Mark for Everyone, the retired Bishop of Durham says that this first chapter of Mark calls people to awake from spiritual slumber. Any doubt you may have about whether God is at work today needs to be repented of. The darkness is over, and now a bright light is being shone in your eyes. It's so stunning that it's dazzling. It's time to wake up to the kingdom of God. And so over the coming months, we'll be following through this story of Mark's Gospel, ending our series on Easter Day. We will move from the dramatic opening of this first chapter right through to the dramatic conclusion of Mark's final verses, when the followers of Jesus flee from the empty tomb, astonished, overwhelmed, or to use Mark's words, trembling and bewildered. On the way, we'll encounter a cameo of swiftly moving scenes. More than any other gospel, Mark's gospel is action-orientated. It's like a news program in which we follow on from one scene of the action to another in rapid succession, with Mark reporting on events. His was the first gospel. He was the first person to write down the oral tradition of eyewitnesses to all that Jesus said and did. And today's reading finds us leaping straight in with an introduction to Jesus from John the Baptist, swiftly followed by Jesus' baptism, his victory over Satan in the wilderness, and Jesus going into Galilee proclaiming the good news of God in verse 14. The time has come, says Jesus, verse 15. These 15 verses from today's reading are all about the big announcement that the time has come. Mark is making a proclamation. Verse 1, the beginning of the good news about Jesus, the Messiah, the Son of God. His opening is deliberate and purposeful on two levels. First of all, the Greek word that has been translated here as gospel is from the language of the first century Roman Empire. In Mark's day, gospel meant, here is a proclamation. So wake up, listen up, pay attention. Something important is about to be announced. It was rather like the breaking news items on today's newsfeed. In the Palestine of Jesus' day, gospel was used as the opening to announce good news, normally in relation to the ruling classes, a Caesar's birthday, for example. People knew that they were supposed to pay attention. Secondly, Mark uses the word gospel to link back into Jewish history. From the very start, he's underlining the importance of the gospel in terms of God's salvation plan. He is saying, what I'm about to tell you is the ultimate in good news. It's where history has been leading. It's what the Jewish prophets spoke of. You may not have heard them for some years now, he says Mark, but here is John the Baptist, the last of the prophets, telling us to listen afresh, reminding us of the words of one of Israel's greatest prophets, Isaiah. That's why on our Advent candles, we have John the Baptist as our third candle, following on from the prophets of old as the second candle, such as Isaiah. Isaiah was the one who spoke of the messenger who would call people to prepare the way for the Lord. And it would remind them that Isaiah had once prophesied that the people walking in darkness had seen a great light. On those living in the land of deep darkness, a light has dawned. So wake up and listen to the announcement. A bright light has come in the midst of great spiritual darkness. But what is at the core of this announcement? What is this gospel? What is this good news all about? Well, on one level, it's quite simple, really. Chapter 1, verse 1 gives us the answer. It's there on the screen. The beginning of the good news about Jesus. Mark's gospel is all about Jesus. It's so easy to be familiar with this gospel that we miss the stunning impact of this opening verse. The beginning of the good news about Jesus, the Messiah, the Son of God. What is going to unfold is truly revolutionary. To people at the time, even just to call Jesus the Messiah, which means anointed one, was subversive. And to call a Jewish man the Son of God was incendiary in every way. After all, the bedrock of the Jewish faith was that there's only one God. So who's this person? This opening account of the life of Jesus as the Messiah is so astonishing that leading New Testament theologian David Wenham says that what Mark is doing here was no less than announcing revolution. Announcing revolution. And as with all revolutions, we will find that what is written in this gospel persuades minds, changes hearts, and transforms behaviour. So firstly, let's look at how these first few verses of the gospel helped us to persuade us in our minds of the revolutionary nature of Mark's account. Now, revolutions don't come from nowhere. There might be flashpoints, but they are set within a changing culture in which perceived grievances form the background narrative. So often, change is crystallized in the voice of a single speaker or writer, one who is gifted with the prophetic voice. Think of Martin Luther King's I Have a Dream speech in August 1963. It was delivered on the steps of the Lincoln Memorial in Washington to the largest gathering of protesters that the city had ever seen. On that day, King analysed well the perceived injustices of American culture. Only then did he go on to tell the crowd of his dream for the future. But he based what he said on recalling promises from the past. He stretched back into history, quoting the founding fathers who had proclaimed, "We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men were created equal." This statement King referred to as a creed. So he shared the theory. And only then he shared his dream, his vision of a future in which wrongs are righted and we could understand it because we understood the context. It was a vision that would move and inspire people. But he noticed that he persuaded minds before he went on to challenge hearts and behaviour. And in Mark's gospel, John the Baptist arrives in true prophetic style on the banks of the southern desert area of the Jordan River. He too analyses well the state of the nation. We see that in verses 4-5. John the Baptist appeared in the wilderness preaching a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. The whole Judean countryside and all the people of Jerusalem went out to him. Confessing their sins, they were baptized by him in the River Jordan. John too announces a vision of the future in verses 7 and 8. After me comes the one more powerful than I, the straps of whose sandals I am not worthy to stoop down and untie. I baptize you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. And we are also given a backstory to his preaching that gives it context. As John reminds Mark's audience of the words of the prophets they would have recalled and understood. And so we would all know that a revolutionary Messiah is on the way. There is one big difference, though, between the revolution that John is announcing and any human revolutions that you might think of. And it's this. With human revolutions, there is disappointment, disillusionment, and counter-revolutions. In the wake of the Black Lives Matter movement, it's poignant to look back on the civil rights movement of the 1960s and to realise that despite Martin Luther King and his generation and all they did to fight for equality, so little seems to have changed. The revolution that Mark's gospel is announcing, however, is one that is initiated and empowered by God, the Lord of all creation. And that makes an eternity of difference because God is the Lord of history. Only he can change minds, hearts, and truly transform lives, not just for this life, but so that the change lasts forever. We're in a season in which we look back on one year and ahead to another. And it's good to do that for a number of reasons. One reason is that as Christians, it reminds us of where we are in terms of God's timeline. This Lord of history created time so that one day and night follows another, just as year succeeds to year. Being on this timeline is what the Bible refers to as chronos time. It reminds us of chronology. But in the New Testament, there are two words for time, chronos and kairos. Kairos refers to a one-off, a certain time that is the right time, a season or an opportune moment. It is God's perfect timing, and it's God's gift to his people. It's why Paul can write to the Christians in Rome in chapter 5 and verse 6. You see, at just the right time when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly at just the right time. He uses the word kairos here for the timing. And we have the same usage here at the start of Mark. Verse 15, the time has come, says Jesus. The kingdom of God is near. Repent and believe the good news. These are the first words of Jesus recorded in this gospel. The time has come, so we need to take note. He's saying this is the right time. This is the now time. This is the opportune because I'm here. The time is fulfilled. Repent and believe the good news. The kingdom of God is here and we're on our way. This is the most prophetic moment in history. Jesus is launching a revolution. It was conceived in the mind of God millennia ago, and it looks forward to its culmination when Chronos time is finally wound up and Jesus comes again. So theory is much needed, but for our hearts to be changed, we need to hear that the time is right for us, right now, for us personally. Does Jesus really want to be part of my life right now? Is this the right time, the Kairos time? Well, we've just been celebrating Christmas, and that's the season that shows us God's commitment to the whole of creation. Another Kairos moment when God entered human history as a human being in order to be involved with those he made. We can see that he wants to be involved, that he came as a baby in the poorest of circumstances to share our human life, our ups and downs, our joys and sorrows. And now, 30 years on, here at the start of Mark's gospel, he's a grown man and offering each one of us good news. The end of one year and the start of another gives us the ideal opportunity to pause and reflect on this. That Jesus invites each one of us to repent and to believe the good news. That our hearts might be warmed towards him. That we might respond to his invitation to believe the good news. And this weekend, we have the time, the right time, to deal with the past and to look in another direction to the future. And that's what repentance means, to acknowledge our sins from the past and to turn around, to change direction and to answer Jesus' call to live life in a new way. It's an invitation that means that at the start of 2022, we can be assured of God's forgiveness and a heart renewed. We can come to receive bread and wine today, knowing that God is here. He is committed to us and that he offers us his forgiveness and a heart renewed. Because we're all work in progress, aren't we? And today, at the start of our journey through Mark's Gospel, we can lay our hearts and lives before God as an indication that we're ready to walk with him this year. Today, every day can be a fresh start, because with the Holy Spirit, we don't have to let the sins of yesterday shape how we are tomorrow or today. This is simply, isn't it, the beginning of the good news about Jesus the Messiah, the Son of God. There's so much more to come in Mark's Gospel that will continue a revolution, not only in our minds and hearts, but it will also have the power to transform our behaviour. And that's truly revolutionary, because with all the trouble in the world, the human race on its own seems to make very little progress. The Christian writer John Ortberg has written a fascinating book, which I thoroughly recommend, called Who Is This Man? In it, he examines what he calls the unpredictable impact of the inescapable Jesus. The unpredictable impact of the inescapable Jesus. In the book, John Ortberg examines the fact that Jesus' life and teaching has defined the behaviour and the culture and the society of the whole of the Western world. He points out that in the last two millennia, there is no area of life that has not been revolutionised by Jesus. Chapter by chapter, he looks at our legal system, voting rights, healthcare, education, our attitude to women and how we treat children, creativity in our art and music and poetry. All areas of life have been transformed by Jesus. And in this country, it's not hard to think of the individual lives that have been so transformed by Jesus that they've been part of shaping God's world for the better. Christians have been pioneers in developing education, health, and a fair and just legal and penal system. They have tackled unjust structures of society in the slave trade, voting rights, and equal pay. They're very much involved in issues of climate change today. And that's just part of the work that's continuing. It goes on every day on our front lines, wherever God has placed us, whatever he's gifted us with, and with whoever he brings us into contact. His kingdom is continuing to grow. He is continuing to transform hearts and lives. Jesus announced a revolution that continues to the 2nd of January 2022 and beyond. No one else in history was like him. To quote John Stott, the great 20th century preacher, "The kingdom of God was coming all the time. It is still growing." The gospel of Jesus continues to bring transformation in the lives of his people in ways that mean that all of us can be involved in things that count for eternity. So at the start of this new year, are you ready for a revolutionary new way of living? To be part of building the kingdom of God? To follow the journey in which Mark will take us from the beginning of this proclamation of the good news about Jesus to the stunning climax of the empty tomb? Are we ready? Let's wake up and follow the call of Jesus on our lives for this year and beyond. Let's just have a few moments of quiet as we consider how God might be speaking to us at the turn of this year. Amen. Can I invite each one of us to stand as we share the peace together at the start of this new year and remind ourselves just how much we're a part of God's faithful people here. We are the body of Christ. In the one Spirit, we were all baptized into one body. Let us then pursue all that makes for peace and builds up our common life. The peace of the Lord be always with you and also with you. Let's greet one another the best we can. And we remain standing as we remember that we're about to meet around the table of the King as we sing this song. Thank you. Please take a seat. The Lord is here. His Spirit is with us. Lift up your hearts. We lift them to the Lord. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right to give thanks and praise. It is right to praise you, Father, Lord of all creation. In your love, you made us for ourselves, for yourself. When we turned away, you did not reject us, but came to meet us in your Son. You embraced us as your children and welcomed us to sit and eat with you. In Christ, you shared our life that we might live in him and he in us. He opened his arms of love upon the cross and made for all the perfect sacrifice for sin. On the night he was betrayed, at supper with his friends, he took bread and gave you thanks. He broke it and gave it to them saying, "Take, eat. This is my body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Father, we do this in remembrance of him. His body is the bread of life. At the end of supper, taking the cup of wine, he gave you thanks and said, "Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. Do this in remembrance of me." Father, we do this in remembrance of him. His blood is shed for all. As we proclaim his death and celebrate his rising in glory, send your Holy Spirit that this bread and this wine may be to us the body and blood of your dear Son. As we eat and drink these holy gifts, make us one in Christ, our risen Lord. With your whole church throughout the world, we offer you this sacrifice of praise and lift our voice to join the eternal song of heaven. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. As our Saviour taught us, so we pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. We break this bread to share in the body of Christ. Though we are many, we are one body because we all share in one bread. We'd love to invite this morning all who know and love our Lord Jesus in sincerity and truth to share in the bread and wine. There is gluten-free bread and non-alcoholic wine if you need it. So just please indicate to Jackie and myself as we come round and we can organise that for you. So draw near with faith. Receive the body of our Lord Jesus Christ, which he gave for you, and his blood, which he shed for you. Eat and drink in remembrance that he died for you, and feed on him in your hearts, by faith, with thanksgiving. Together we pray. We do not presume to come to this your table, merciful Lord, trusting in our own righteousness, but in your manifold and great mercies. We are not worthy so much as to gather up the crumbs under your table, but you are the same Lord, whose nature is always to have mercy. Grant us therefore, gracious Lord, so to eat the flesh of your dear Son, Jesus Christ, and to drink his blood, that our sinful bodies may be made clean by his body, and our souls washed through his most precious blood, and that we may evermore dwell in him and he in us. Amen.
Thank you.
We pray together. God our Father, you sent Jesus the Saviour as the Holy Child of Bethlehem and the Redeemer of the world. May the light of faith live in our hearts and shine in our words and deeds through him who is Christ the Lord. Amen. Can I invite you to stand for our closing hymn? Take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to thee. Take the whole of 2022, Lord God. Father, thank you for these gifts. Thank you that they are mere tokens of all that we owe to you. Thank you that you accept the offering not only of our money, but above all else of our hearts. We praise you. Please use these gifts in the work of your kingdom for Jesus' sake. Amen. And now a final blessing for this new year. Go out into this new year in the faith that overcomes the world, in the hope that will not disappoint you, and in the love which never fails, and the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, be upon you and remain with you and those whom you love, both now and forevermore. Amen. Ben, thank you so much for coming. It would be lovely to try and catch up with one another a bit. I think some people might be going to the railway for coffee, so do come along. Even if you haven't brought any money with you, that will be taken care of. We'd love to invite you. So just let's greet one another and thank you again for coming.